If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. There are some of these prophets that take on a character all their own. Some of these prophets we know very little about in the Old Testament. We know what they wrote, and sometimes it's difficult to understand. And some of the prophets we know a lot about. One of those that we know a lot about is the prophet Jeremiah, sometimes called the weeping prophet, but you can't pigeonhole him into just one depressed guy. In fact, he delivers some of the best news in the clearest way of any of the prophets in the New Testament. He actually is the one who will tell us eventually about a new covenant that God has awaiting his people. The old covenant, which they broke, and a new covenant that is coming down the line. And of course, it is with that language that Jesus himself inaugurates, he even calls it, a new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. We're going to be talking about Jeremiah and God's new covenant as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. He hosts this radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
You can't talk about a new covenant without making reference to the old covenant. What was the old covenant?
This is one of my favorite subjects because I often will begin a seminar with folks, and I always like to ask questions that lead to wrong answers in order to clarify them, and so they have a proper understanding of God's Word. And so the question I often ask is, who here would disagree that when we use the term Old Testament and New Testament, we're referring to the books of the Bible, according to the Bible? And then most people think that's exactly true, that the terms Old Testament refer to the books of the Old Testament, and New Testament refers to the books in the New Testament. And then I tell them, never in the entire Bible are the phrases Old Testament or New Testament referring to the books of the Bible. Instead, another translation for testament, of course, is a covenant. When somebody does their last will and testament, that is a covenant or an agreement as to how their assets will be divided up among the relatives, etc. And therefore, when the Bible talks about Old Covenant and New Covenant, it's not talking about the books of the Bible. It's talking about two contracts or two agreements that God made with his people. The first one, which is called the Old Covenant, is found in Exodus, where God has Moses sacrifice animals, and the blood of those animals are put on the altar and sprinkled over the people, and the people say, all these things we will do and obey. So therefore, the Old Covenant is still a means that God brings people into it, even though they don't deserve it, but they're promising to obey his will in order to stay in that covenant. And of course, that lasts about as long as the golden calf. The new covenant is totally different. And Jeremiah, one of the sections the Sunday school teachers are asked to look at, is chapter 31. And I'll just read the last part of this, which is also quoted in the book of Hebrews. The new covenant is one when I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Now, God can't forget anything. He's omniscient. So what does it mean that he will no longer remember their sin? That doesn't seem to make any sense. Until you understand that when God is talking about remembering something, he's not really talking about the memory. The example I often give is two little boys are fighting and one hits the other, and the one who gets hit says, I'm going to remember that. He doesn't mean he's going to put it in his memory. It means he's going to get even. When God says he is no longer going to remember our sin, that means he is no longer going to hold us accountable for our sin. That is not part of the old covenant. And the final point I want to make is that the old covenant is also found in the Old Testament books. In fact, the first time it's mentioned is Genesis 3:15, when God says to Satan the serpent that through the seed of Eve will come the Messiah. And so throughout the Old Testament books, there is a mixture of Old Covenant and New Covenant language. The New Covenant continuing with Abraham, remember? Isaac will continue the line to the Messiah. And what does it say? And Abraham believed the promise of God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. This is a tremendous Sunday school lesson for Reformation Sunday, which is this coming Sunday. Because Reformation is all about how do we receive that righteousness that entitles us to go to heaven. Under the old covenant, you earn it by doing good works. Under the new covenant, it is a gift of grace that God gives you for no reason at all, except because he is gracious towards you. And he promises not only to no longer remember your sin, but it's coupled with he will forgive your iniquity, which means you are no longer held accountable for the penalty for your sin eternally, because Jesus Christ took that penalty on the accursed cross.
Tom, there's a connection that the Sunday school kids might have with this study of the new covenant with respect to the prophet Jeremiah, because the prophet Jeremiah is called as a prophet from his youth, isn't he?
Yes. In fact, that's the first beginning of the book of Jeremiah. And boy, this is really interesting. It's good to have this mentioned. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah, remember Moses says, boy, I don't know, I'm not a very good speaker. I'm not sure I can handle all this. Jeremiah says, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. And then here's what the Lord says. Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. I think that's a very good promise for our Sunday school children. Some of them may say, you know, I don't really think I have the capability of being a pastor or a parochial school teacher. Don't ever say that. Because God also continues to promise in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. And here comes the law and gospel. To pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And so Jeremiah is living at a time when the people are being punished by God for their idolatry, But Jeremiah has some of the most beautiful verses in connection with the gospel, where God is going to bring them back to their land and they will again be his people.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah leading up to that announcement of the new covenant, where he will forgive our sins, remember them no more. That's impossible for us to imagine, how God, who knows all things, remembers our sins no more in Christ Jesus. We'll be right back.
Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, talking about Jeremiah the prophet and God's new covenant. So we mentioned before that Jeremiah is called by God as a youth, that he is a prophet to the people. And I want you to expand on this a little bit more. When God's harshest judgment in all of the Old Testament is being meted out against them, talk about that exile to Babylon.
Yes. Jeremiah's ministry began in what we think was about 626 B.C. and ended in 586 B.C. And we need to remember that what happened in 587 B.C. was the destruction of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah was definitely living during that time. Now, after Jerusalem was taken, a group of Jews left and went into exile to Egypt. They took Jeremiah with them, and that's where he later died. So during his time, he was to preach the law of God to the people in order to lead them to repent of their sins. And he even told them that their punishment in Babylon would last 70 years. Now, this is really important to understand on Reformation Sunday, which many of us are celebrating, that in every religion in the world, the law of God is to inform you as to what you are to do in order to be saved. But in Christianity, when we're talking about a person attempting to be saved, the law of God is used to show that you cannot do anything in order to be saved, that you are too weak, that because of your original sin, it is impossible to perfectly do the law, and therefore repentance is called for, namely, an acknowledgement on our part of contrition over our sins, and therefore then looking to someone outside of us to save us. And that's what happens here with Jeremiah. He mentions about Jesus coming. Jesus, and remember I said, nobody gets to heaven without being totally righteous in the sight of God. And it is in Jeremiah 33, verse 15, that Jeremiah talks about Jesus as the righteous branch. And then in 33:16, the name of the Messiah is the Lord is our righteousness. Now, this is really a critical distinction. And part of it, you need to distinguish between justification and sanctification. Jeremiah is primarily talking about how one gets justified. Works simply don't count, your works. Once you are saved, then sanctification becomes the process whereby you respond to what God has done in saving you. So good works are really necessary after you are saved, because before you are saved, you can't even do a good work from God's point of view for salvation. Remember, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So the old covenant, you got your righteousness by obedience to the Mosaic law. The new covenant, you receive your righteousness by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is why this is so hard for people to receive, because there's nothing in our reality in this world where your faith changes your status. You can believe all kinds of things and it doesn't make you a different person. But in Christianity, faith is much more than knowledge about the Bible. And I have to say, I think the growing in Christ did a wonderful job in distinguishing between knowledge and faith. Jeremiah knew that God said, I'm going to send you as my prophet. But until the Holy Spirit put faith into him to trust that promise, then all he had was knowledge. And I think that's really an important point to make, and they do a tremendous job making that point throughout the lesson, particularly the idea that how does knowledge get converted to saving faith? It is when the Holy Spirit works through the Word, taking the knowledge of the Bible and changing it into belief in promises. So, for example, nobody is saved by believing that Jesus died on the cross or rose from the dead, or else the devils would be saved. They know that. You are saved by believing the promises connected to those historical events, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He rose from the dead for my justification. And Jeremiah is an excellent example of someone who was told something. He says, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. I'm a young man. I don't know how to speak. But then God brought faith to him to trust the promises of God. And that's what needs to get across to the Sunday school children, that God has a vocation for them. It doesn't have to be as a member of the church, but namely being a pastor or a parochial school teacher, but in whatever vocation you are, you can be a Christian in fulfilling it properly and taking the opportunities that God may provide you in sharing the new covenant with many who have never hardly even heard of it, yet alone believe in it.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Have you registered yet for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas? Now is the time to do so. Attendance is limited to 400. It begins Friday with a live broadcast of Issues Etc., followed by speakers and evening prayer. We kick off Saturday morning with morning prayer, followed by speakers, a hymn sing, Q&A, and we end with a divine service Saturday night. You can find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the conservative Reformation, talking with Dr. Larry Rast about Holy Communion. We'll also discuss the struggle for confessional Lutheran identity in America with Pastor Paul McCain. We'll get more of your reaction as well to our interview with Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, during Open Lines tomorrow. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.